just take a moment and let's just expand the universe a little bit, shall we?
You must unlearn what you have learned.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Caulfield Kenobi presents Legends Library.
There's always a bit of truth in legends.
Routine information is not repeat, not simply shouted in the general direction of its intended recipient. Is that clear?
To defeat an enemy, you must know them.
Now here are your hosts, Luke Siders and Randy Theriot.
But enough of this. You've come a long way to challenge me. Make a worthy effort.
Everybody, I'm Randy.
And I'm Luke.
And you're listening to Legends Library. We're a podcast dedicated to the Legends line of Star Wars books. And this month, we're talking about the book Bloodlines. Not the Bloodlines that some people may be familiar with. This is the Legacy of the Force Bloodlines. It's part two in the series, the Legacy of the Force series. It's written by Karen Travis. That's the book we're talking about this week or this month. But before we get into our book review, let's kind of catch up a little bit. Luke, how have you been recently?
I've been pretty good. Went through, you know, got this book, and not to get into the book yet, but enjoyed it. So I had to, on Audible right now, they have like a buy three credits thing.
Uh-huh.
I had to do that so I could get it before my credit comes.
Okay,
so gotcha. I bought the next three books in the series just so I already got them.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then getting ready for Thrawn next month, Alliances.
Yeah.
I got my wife, I got LASIK done 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So on the drive and stuff, I couldn't drive for, you know, a few days. So I had her driving around back and forth from Phoenix and stuff. So okay. I put Thrawn on, the new book, the new Thrawn book.
Okay.
She loves it. She's got a few hours left on it. So it was nice for me to kind of catch up.
Okay.
And then she really enjoys all the Thrawn stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what's going on here. How about
Very
you?
Very cool. Well, I've had a ton of fun going over the Legacy of the Force stuff as well. I've completed the series again, you know, before we started Betrayal last month. And just yesterday, I listened to the whole book. I listened to Bloodlines right after we recorded our last episode, and then I listened to it again yesterday in one day. I loved it. So, but there's this really cool thing I wanted to tell you about. For Father's Day, my family, as a gift to me, they made a commitment that we as a family over the next few weeks or couple weeks that we would watch the entire Star Wars saga, starting with episode one and going in chronological order as far as the chronology, not the release dates. And
all the Clone Wars too?
No. I tried to sneak that in and they would have none of it, especially my wife. She's not going to watch cartoons. So anyway, I had to kind of like, I had to, you know, that wasn't a hill I was willing to die on. I was good just to have her.
Yeah.
So I got greedy. I like, hey, we, you know, there are a couple episodes. Nope. Okay. But you know, Darth, nope. So, okay. Well, the movies it is then.
Yeah.
So, but man, I've got just a whole new take on, the prequels, in that they have, I don't feel as though they've held up to time as much as I remembered,
mm-hmm.
Because the dialogue is really slow. The acting is suspect. And I honestly don't think it's the actors and actresses. I think it was just, they didn't have like a lot of dialogue to really get into, to execute. And anytime you have a child actor, it's not going to execute, like it's not going to bring, you know, he's Anakin is a young 10-year-old, 8-year-old Anakin isn't bringing a stellar seasoned actor performance. He's a kid, and so I totally understand that. But even that the distance in quality from episode one to episode two was, I got a new appreciation for episode two, which episode two used to be the one that I probably would rank as the least, my least favorite, is quite a bit higher now, seeing them kind of back to back to back. I really did struggle through episode one, but something really interesting happened. And thanks, before I go on, Cole Peel, who will be one of our guests here in the coming months as we continue to go through the legacy of the Force. One of our favorite guests to have on, Cole, kind of threw out some feedback for me when I had mentioned that, hey, I don't feel like, you know, episode one really held up to time. He kind of threw back at, you know, kind of pushed back and said, hey, you know, consider this, consider that. And I'll let him kind of defend his own stance when we give him an opportunity to be on the show. But he it very much had a point, you know, like, you know, consider, you know, Darth Maul, consider, you know, the foundation of the story, consider, you know, so I'm not going to defend him for him. He does a great job of defending the prequels on his own. And I'm not a prequel hater. I think I'd rather watch episode one or two than any other movie, you know. So it's all Star Wars to me. I love it all. So, but here's something that's really cool that really applies to us in this podcast, especially, you know, the legend side of this, of our focus here, is with my family. When we got through, you know, the prequels, Rogue One, and then we got through the original trilogy, and we're at the end, we got to the point where we are at the end of Return of the Jedi, and I wanted to say to my family and say to my wife, of course my kids are Star Wars fans, but they're Star Wars fans like, you know, your average Star Wars fan, right? Mm-hmm. My son and I kind of used, we have a little bit more of a connection as far as like our Star Wars fandom, but even since, as he's gotten older, that's kind of tailed off and he's gotten into other things. But I desperately wanted to stop right after Return of the Jedi and say, can I read the first chapter of Heir to the Empire to you guys? You know, I didn't want to go into The Force Awakens. Because I knew as soon as they watched it, that would be kind of they've already seen it, but I didn't, I'm like, I wanted to say, and I did say it. I wanted to offer and say, look, this is really cool. And there's a whole other story. And I guess the thing that I really didn't want affected is I didn't like the life and the character of Han Solo. I've come to the place where I really, really love the Legends version of Han Solo. I don't like the idea that he is a bad father and that he's you know, kind of abandoned Leia, and Leia has abandoned the relationship as well. And I love the idea that I love the Han Solo that he was and how he was portrayed in Heir to the Empire and, you know, and in Legends. And I know that there's times where, you know, Han Solo wasn't he wasn't presented in the best light and people got frustrated with that. And I struggled with how Han Solo was presented even at the beginning of Legacy of the Force, where he was kind of like the catalyst for this new galactic civil war. But now that I've gotten into it, I have fallen into that comfortable place that I always felt Han Solo was, and the new Han Solo. And then, I don't know. I don't know.
Him and Luke were kind of losers in the new ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't like how they portrayed Luke either.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to get in this huge debate, and I don't want to make a bunch of people mad again.
Right. Right.
But I don't like how, I mean, I liked Han Solo in Force Awakens, but yeah, you're right. I mean, all those years, he just went back to being a loser smuggler. I mean, come on. He's Han Solo. He's
right. Yeah, that's not very hero-y of him, you know, and heroic is the word I should have used there. But the Legends version of Han Solo is very heroic and chivalrous and protective of Leia and would never leave her and never, you know, and would always protect her. And he would roll the dice, it was to defend his family, you know,
Jedi Order, he went around kind of like a loser for a few books, but he was still doing heroic stuff, saving that. Whatever that weird guy was that was like his Chewie for two episodes. Remember that guy?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was like the alien guy. People are probably throwing out the names at me right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he wanted to find his family. So Han helped him find his family.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, helped him escape, and they were riding around the Millennium Falcon for a few books.
I remember that guy. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, but I remember the character.
Yeah.
Even in the Legacy of the Force series, he says, even in Bloodlines, in the book we'll talk about, he says, nobody messes with my family, or, you know, you mess with my family and you're going to get more than you bargained for. Or, you know, there's several times in Bloodlines where he just says, you know, he's just like this cool Han Solo. And that's the completion of his character. You know, when we met him in A New Hope, you know, he was like, you know, but they're going to kill Princess Leia. You know, that, you know, Luke's like, but they're going to kill her. And he says, well, better her than me. You know, that's where we begin. But by the end of Return of the Jedi, you know, he's yelling to Chewie, get down here. She's injured. You know, like he's protective of her even then. And then that continues on in the expanded universe, where that attitude and that particular character.
Kids and stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, wow. But we did go ahead and go on to The Force Awakens, and then of course all the questions, you know, start popping up, and because I'm giving them deeper cuts, I'm like, hey, I look at this person, or look at that person in the background. What's really been fun is like, hey, there's Warwick Davis. Oh, hey, look, there's Warwick Davis. You know, just to be able to go through and just point out where Warwick Davis, like a, you know, where's Waldo kind of thing. Oh, look, there's Warwick Davis, to see, you know, him pop up in different places, or you know point out, you know, this pilot is Ben Burtt. He's the sound designer, like one of the most famous, you know, post-production people in the history of cinema. And there he is, you know, piloting a Naboo fighter, you know? So, you know, I could kind of throw in like deeper cuts and more like kind of novelty facts that I kind of know as we've been going through, but it's been a ton of fun. And I kind of had a new appreciation for different things and kind of miss other things. And it's been a ton of fun sitting down and watching Star Wars with my family.
It's cool.
So, yeah. So we got an email that I wanted to read before we go to the book review. And this, it just popped into my head when you had mentioned listening to the audiobooks and stuff, and kind of buying the credits and all that kind of stuff. It's from a listener named Shane Hubbard. It says, hi, Randy, enjoying the podcast. I'm really keen on this series, but don't get much time to read, young children and all. So I use audiobooks as I'm in a machine all day. I see all the legacy books are abridged. Will I lose most of the story? Do you think it's worth it, as it might ruin the story? Great podcast. Thanks, Randy. Or I'm sorry, thanks, Shane. So anyway, thank you so much, Shane, for emailing us. I really appreciate you listening. And my response was basically this. This is the very first series of Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson's very first Star Wars book was Legacy of the Force, Part 1, Betrayal. And he even improves from the first book to the second book, I felt.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So, and as far as, because I did read Betrayal, and I've listened to it several times, the really cool and important stuff was part of the main story, part of the audiobook, and it was included in the audiobook. So if you're considering, well, I don't have time to read it, maybe I should just do the audiobook. It's way beyond better than nothing. Like, yeah. like it's very high quality production, and they do bring a version that covers. You're not going to know what color the lamp is on the nightstand or whatever, but you're going to know the important events. You're going to know the important dialogue, and they're very clever in how they present the story, so you don't feel that you've missed detail. And so, having gone through Legacy of the Force several times, I've always felt like, and it's a 6-hour. It's not like it's a, you know, like a 4-hour cassette, you know, made digital. These are digital presentations, even from the beginning. So you don't hear the quality, is you don't hear that, like that hiss, that analog hiss anymore. They were recording these in a digital realm to be presented on CDs. And so there was, that's how they were able to actually present, you know, or publish a 6-hour version instead of a 4-hour version. So anyway, I don't know how much, an unabridged version, I don't know if these would be 8-hour books or 10-hour books or what the difference is there. As far as how much content you're like time wise that you're missing out on.
It's probably maybe 12 hours.
12 hours to 6 hours. So you're getting half of the material. Some of these books are thinner than that. I don't know, but I do feel that, that if you're in a work situation or if you're driving and that's the only way to get these books in there, I would rather have you do that than miss out, because, you know, you're missing out on, you know, stuff that the publisher didn't feel was important enough to put into an audiobook. Mm-hmm. I've always felt that I've gotten the full story. I've never felt that I've gotten less, and especially after reading and listening, I don't even recall like, oh, they didn't mention this or that. I just felt like, okay, they skipped that, but I don't remember like, oh, they should have, you know, I don't remember having that emotion. Like, yeah. Well, they should have put this in there because that's a huge moment. Anything that's valuable to the story is definitely going to be put in the audiobook. So, do I want you to go on utini.com and buy the newest version or the newest book or next month's book? Yes. Do I want you to listen to us while you're in that machine at work? I want that too. I want you to know what we're talking about, and if audio version is most practical for you, then let's do it. Go for it and have fun. And plus the music and the sound effects and Mark Thompson's voices are totally legit. So they're totally cool. And so it's a whole other experience. If you've never listened to the audiobooks and you've only read, you're missing out there too. So I would say both ways, you know, if you have done one and not the other, you're missing out. But so anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that out for Shane. Thank him for listening. I think that was a pretty cool email. But you ready to do a book review?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's go head on over to our book review.
All right. All right. So for those that read and listened to the book, if you didn't know, Boba Fett is involved. He's on the cover. So we kind of all knew somehow Boba Fett's going to be in this book. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, we have a brief, you know, intro of him capturing Habook. We kind of get a little background of him we get the background when he goes to Kamino and his doctor, and they basically tell him he's dying. Right. His replacement leg, you know, his genes are falling apart. And it's for those that would listened to us when we went through the Republic Commando series and read the books, they know that, you know, this was something that the ARCs and Commandos were looking for, that gene cure. So that's where this book is fun for Republic Commando fans. We get a lot of callbacks. And for those that haven't read that series, you should go back, read it while we're doing this, and listen to our episodes in between. But so we get the intro of Boba Fett. He's dying. He's 70 years old, still Boba Fett. But then we also we hear that Thrakken Sal Solo, after the events in Betrayal, has put a contract out on Han and the family. So, you know, Jason, Jaina, Leia, and that's kind of where, like Randy says, nobody messes with my family.
Right.
That's like a big theme of this book. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. I think the whole, not just this book, but the whole way through, I would say, this is like unofficial and kind of loosely interpreted, but I would say Han Solo, we kind of experience this whole story, except for maybe toward the end. We get a lot of more like Han Solo's perspective. And we follow Han Solo through most of the material in this entire series. So yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah, so Tawn Wee, we know her from Clone Wars. Yep. She was one of the main, you know, geneticist, Kamino. She's basically ran off, disappeared. And Fett basically thinks that she has the data that will cure him. So that's one of our first storylines with Fett. And then one of the main arcs of the story and what kind of sets this book off is there's an explosion on Coruscant. And it basically, the Galactic Alliance thinks it's Corellian terrorists. And they're going after, you know, the GA. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then we have, you know, a little bit later, we have the water supply tainting, which mm-hmm. we expect is Corellian terrorist. But the GA starts to fight back to discourage the Corellians from starting a conflict on their homeworld. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge part of the story.
It is.
I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but, you know, one of the main things that, and you just went through the prequels, mm-hmm. is we have Jason Solo leading, you know, he's basically made a colonel of this task force that's going to stop the Corellian terrorists. But he flow walks back in time to find out Anakin, Darth Vader's errors. But he does it when he's in the temple and basically watches him conduct Order 66.
Right.
And I think the book tried to do it. But to me, a lot of this stuff reminds you of Darth Vader. You got this, or Anakin.
Right.
You know, you got this guy who's a Jedi. He thinks he's doing the right thing, and he's got all these troopers with them. And he, you know, the people in the city were doing it throughout the book. You know, the Empire's back. The Empire's right. back. And right. it's kind of like we're just going back, and history's repeating itself.
Right.
So, you know, this is the opening of the book. And that's why this series, to me, I mean, you know all about this series, but it's starting to shape up and be fun to me because it's really, I mean, this is days after the last book. And we're right. just building and building and building. And after this book, I felt like, man, where are we going? You know, we got how many books left? 7 books? Like, I don't know.
Right. And we're starting to see, now that we're into book 2, we're starting to see that tilt of Jason Solo kind of favoring or moving toward the dark side, and expressing what that means to pursue the dark side of the Force. And in a 9-book series, to have that tip so early, you know, at 1.5 books in, to see Jason Solo start to tip to the dark side, it seems like too fast, because, like, you know, if you got 9 books, like, that you want that fall or that movement,
yeah, in the middle, kinda, or something,
yeah, paced, you know, paced over 9 books. But here we are, you know, seeing Jason and Lumaya. You can see Lumaya's manipulation, even though she's convincing Jason Solo, like, no, you're so much different. She knew Anakin's, yeah. You know, she knew Darth Vader. She knew Darth Vader's story. She knew the story of his fall. She knew all the details, or, you know, most of the details of how that happened. But, oh man, Jason, you're much different. You're older. You're wiser. Yeah. Like, just mm-hmm. really just feeding that self and feeding that, like, and affirming just selfishness and dark sidedness. Oh, but you're different. You're not about conquest. You're not being manipulated by somebody like Sidious. I'm showing you.
Yeah, he, like, was a fool.
Right. But not you. You know, you are, yeah. You know, not you. You're different. You know, it just, man, it's so, so slimy and, but so cool, you know, as far as, like, from the dark side perspective. And
it doesn't feel too rushed to me, I guess. Because they do a good job of slow events, you know, it's,
if this was like a 3-book series, I would be like, okay, that pacing makes sense. And I'm not saying it's rushed. I'm just saying, like, I remember the emotions of, like, what are we going to do for 7 books?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? He's already committed by the end of Bloodline here. He's already committed to pursuing.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So 7 more books after this of him being, you know, on the dark side, or maybe they kill him off sooner, or maybe he wins in the end, or, you know, what, you know, where do you go for 7 books? I know, but I remember the feeling, and that must be what it feels like for you, you know, having this is your first time through this. So the whole idea of flow walking and all that kind of stuff is super, super cool to me. It has that time, it has that time travel kind of feel to it, but I never saw it as like a sci-fi time travel kind of thing, because he could only observe. He wasn't,
yeah, like, it's a vision smart thing,
right? And so it's, yeah, it is a glorified vision gift. But wow, man, what a cool kind of transition from Jason that used to be pacifist and used to be just, and Karen Travis writes that into this story, like, not my son Jason. He was the one with the tender heart. He was the one
that, yeah, was, Anakin was the one that was
right. So, but yeah, so I guess that was a bit of a sidetrack. But still, like, totally appropriate or totally connects to the story as it goes along here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening in this book. I mean, I mean, we have all this stuff going on Coruscant. We have that Corellian sanctuary being desecrated. And then kid that, you know, Ben kind of befriends, but also betrays him later.
Right.
You know, and then at this point in time, we have Boba Fett on Taris, which is kind of cool throwback for all those that played Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
He meets Mir Tegev, who's basically like a bounty hunter hired to take him to Aelin Bell.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So Mir Tegev.
I guess everybody's read it at this point.
Yeah, we can talk about it. So, Mir Tegev is basically his granddaughter, and but the reveal of how
it was cool,
yeah, how that became known was really awesome. Again, it's Karen Travis, who just knows how to write a dang book. Like, she knows how to write a book.
Yeah.
And she knows that's all right. She knows Mandalorian culture too, so not only is she writing Boba Fett and writing the story, but just her knowledge of Mandalorian culture, or her basically creating Mandalorian culture. And not only like, and the conversations, I've noticed that, how she treats Boba Fett and the dialogue is Fett always answers a question with a question with Murda, you know, like, you know, she'll say, why are you doing this? And then he'll come back with a question. And so he always has this air of like, he who cares the least has the most power. It has that kind of like air about him. And it's like, it just fits Boba Fett, and it just puts him in the perfect place and a perfect like creative space. As you're listening, you always know, even if you're reading the book, you always know that Boba Fett is talking, because he has
the voice.
Yeah, not just the voice, but even like on the page, like, you, because he has that kind of air about him as you read his dialogue.
So I liked the callbacks to Skarada and stuff. He's like, I don't know Mando.
Yeah.
But Skarada, you know, and his crazy kids, and, you know, it went back to all that stuff. And even Murda and like the Mandos that he would meet up with, they're using all the words, you know, Fear Feck and Boba, yeah. Boboir, you know,
Bobica.
Yeah, and all that stuff. That was cool.
Baba Weir. Yeah, that's really cool. So Lumaya, there's a really cool scene. I know we're starting to fall apart as far as structure here, but I'm just going to there's a really cool scene in the book, bringing Lumaya into it. At this point, Luke Skywalker, he doesn't know. He keeps seeing the vision of the man with that doesn't exist, and he keeps seeing that man is close, and he keeps having dreams where he's chasing down the man that doesn't exist, and he grabs the cloak and he pulls it back, and just before he pulls it back to see the face, he wakes up and he's frustrated with himself, and so So there's that part of the Lumaya story. Then there's the part of the story centered around Lumaya and Jason Solo's relationship. And there's tests like Lumaya is pushing and pushing and using those tassels and those messages in the tassels to create kind of a sequence of, you know, you have to do this, and then that leads to this, and then that leads to this. And ultimately, at the end of this book, it's the sacrifice. He has to sacrifice someone that he loves. But then there's information or testing coming back the other way. And the spot in the story that I'm really speaking of right now is the time. There's a moment where if Jason Solo is going to come under Lumaya's Sith tutelage, he's going to test her back. And yeah. So she ends up, he ends up coercing and kind of getting her basically into the temple, into the Jedi temple, and is face to face with Luke Skywalker. And Lumaya has to cover her force abilities and make sure that she's not detected Luke Skywalker.
Wants to see if that's all she's there for.
Right. Yeah. So what's your motivation? And do you even have the skills that you say you do? You say you're gonna teach me to be a Sith Lord and all that, and, you know, a Sith and all that kind of stuff, but do you have the skills to even show me the path? And so he tests her, and even to the point of like, hey, you know, it's Jason Solo, Lumaya, and Luke. And he's like, hey, you want to grab a cup of calf with us? Yeah. And Luke says, no, that's okay. I got to run. I got a meeting with so-and-so or whatever. And so, you know, Lumaya passes the test. Luke doesn't detect Lumaya at all. But she's like, why were you doing that? Like, how could you do such a thing? And he's like, hey, I just want to make sure you are who you are, you know, who you say you are. And I thought that was a really cool cool scene and cool dilemma that he puts her in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was super cool.
So as we jump into Coruscant stuff, Admiral Pellion resigns as Supreme Commander, and Admiral Nyathol is basically appointed the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And as we saw, you know, with Nyathol's views, we know where this is going. We're probably going to head to war.
Right.
Jason, you know, as I said before, he was the colonel of this task force. And they do the first raid on Jabby Town with Ben at his side.
Right.
And it's basically like all over the news everywhere. You know, Jason Solo, son of Han Solo Corellian, you know, is breaking in houses and throwing Corellians in prison. And Luke sees Ben at his side. And a lot of stuff. I feel like there's going to be a lot. That's like a pivotal scene. It's not pivotal yet, but like that's a big point in the story of where Jason's going this route. Ben's at his side. It bothers Luke. Mara doesn't know what to do. You know, she's still trying to be the middleman, be mom.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right on that? Or
yeah. And there's conflict.
Other books, does stuff come out of this conflict that's starting right now?
Yes, it does. It actually even it becomes the. That specific conflict and these conversations, this is the beginning of a dilemma that lasts through the series as far as like where's Jason taking Ben? Luke and Mara disagreeing and have a different belief or a different stance on what a master's role and how much of a parent they should be. Struggling with Luke is a master, but he's a parent at the same time. And where does he fall, and how should he express each one of those titles in Ben's life?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the beginning of the dilemma when they see Ben next to him doing raids and basically performing like encampment duties. Basically, they're gonna like bring all Corellians into. Basically, they're just I don't know, is that the word, internment
pretty much? Yeah,
they're just basically gonna put them all, throw them all into jail, or kind of like into ghettos or whatever. I kind of look, you know, it kind of harkens back to like,
I feel like it's like World War II and
World War II, yeah.
US, so we threw all the Japanese in camps.
Or what the Germans did to the Jewish people, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing, like, you know, creating, you know, ghettos and stuffing them, you know, way too many people in a too little area. And because, again, playing on the fear of Coruscant, you know, Cal Omis is like, hey, my job is to keep Coruscant safe. That's my job. And so he uses that as motivation that's his excuse to say, hey, there's no limits, Jason. You're the colonel now. At all costs, keep all the Coruscantis safe. Every Corellian is a threat. And so it gets dark real quick, because not only is Jason falling to the dark side as we're watching, but he's also been given very dark tasks to do.
Yeah.
And so it's a perfect storm of yuck, or a perfect storm of darkness, I guess.
Before we jump further into that basically line of events, we have a quick one with Boba Fett finding Ton Wee, kind of like an espionage mission.
Mm-hmm.
Where we find out that Kosai was the one at the information, which that was such a cool scene for me, being a big Republic Commando fan.
Yeah.
We're talking about Kosai, and basically, like, she was captured with her data and her body parts were sent back. Like, I remember all those scenes, you know, from the book. And then she thinks that these clones used it on them, and then they went dark. And nobody knows what happened to it. Which is cool, because that was like all happening at the end of the 501st Republic Commandos book.
Right.
So, but what's crazy is like those books came after this one. So I don't know. But it's also good to know that the clones, we hope we'll never know.
Right.
They, you know, lived nice long lives and are those characters that we loved.
Yeah.
What did you think about that scene?
I loved it. I loved it. I love even like I loved every moment, if I could say that. Like, you know, when he walks into the room, you know, all stealthily, he walks into the room and she says, "Oh, just leave the report on my desk or whatever." She doesn't turn around and you know,
and it's Boba.
Yeah, it's Boba Fett standing, and like, you know, how Karen Travis explains what a Kaminoan looks like when they're surprised,
you know? And his menace that he puts, you know, that he carries in this galaxy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, oh, it's you, Boba.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a surprise Kaminoan. That's really,
are you going to kill me?
Are you going to kill me? Yeah. So, yeah, I love that scene. And if I'm just completely honest, anytime, I'm not going to say favorites, because they're all so good to me. They're all these storylines are so, they're so cool.
Yeah, there's really not, like, in some of the books we always talk about, there's a storyline where it's just like dull and you just like want to fast forward. You're like, ugh.
Yeah. What happens with so and so? Yeah.
But you're right. This, there, every storyline, you're like, okay, all right, let's get back to the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to talk about kind of, the Sal Solo, Thrakken Sal Solo, I guess the end of Thrakken Sal Solo and how that comes about. Are you down for that?
Before we jump into that, I just wanted to kind of bring up how, as they're raiding all these Corellian, you know, districts and stuff, they capture a group of agent, you know, Corellians with a bounty hunter that's Aelin Haber, which.
Oh yeah.
We kind of are like, okay, that's probably Aelin Bell, whatever, you know. And she's, you know, this bounty hunter, and she's, you know, hard, you know, hard faced, and she looks menacing to Ben. In the book, you know, it matched up perfectly with the Thrakken Sal Solo stuff. That's why I wanted to talk about it, so we can talk about both of these at the same time, because I feel like the storylines, they like met.
I agree.
At the same time, it brought so much tension, where Jason is interrogating Aelin Haber, and Ben, you know, Ben's out there, and it's a crazy scene for the,
it
you
is.
Know, where he basically kills her, and you know, both of the sergeants are in there trying to stop Jason, and they're trying to revive her, and Jason's just kind of standing there like a jerk, and Ben is just shot,
right,
and he's dead, and we're like, what the heck just happened? Because meanwhile, we have this Thrakken Sal Solo scene going on,
right,
where you know Boba Fett goes to meet Sal Solo about this Mandalorian contract to protect Centerpoint with his 100 Mandalorians, which he didn't want to do and his guys didn't want to do.
Right.
But as he leaves, Gedgen offers him $1 million to kill him. So he's like, all right, yeah, sure. But he runs into Han Solo, who wants to kill him also, and he's trying to kill him. So basically, it's just a weird, it's a cool scenario to see him like Fett and Han Solo working together with Mir Tegev, who we didn't know was his granddaughter, but she was a cool character. And they all just walk into his office. And basically the deal was Han got to get a punch on him or kill him. And he would get Aelin Vel or Haber back from Jason. That was the deal. Right. So they kill Thrakken Sal Solo. Han's all mad because he wasn't able to kill him. And that was kind of a loser scene of Han. I didn't like that scene.
You didn't like it? Okay.
He was just very emotional of him, I guess.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not going to rag on the scene because, you know, whatever. Right. But yeah, they get out of there. These 2 70-year-olds are running out of there. I'm going to let you talk about all this because tons of stuff going on right now.
Right.
And they get back, and that part of the deal's done. And he has Leia calling to get Aelin out, and she's talking to Jason. And what happens? You can take it from here and talk about all of this.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, it's cool, and it's a crossroads or a kind of an amalgamation of like several storylines happening all at the same
tension,
time.
How much tension, you know? It's my gosh,
yeah, and intensely amazing how Karen Travis works all of these together. So as Leia is making contact with Jason and saying, "Hey, we took out Sal Solo, but part of and we did it with Fett's help."
Standing here.
Yeah, he's
wants his daughter.
He's standing right here. All we have to do to fulfill our end of the bargain is Fett helps us take out Sal Solo. We don't have a death mark on us. All we have to do now is just Jason, just hand over Aelin Haber, who you think is a nobody, who you think is some bounty hunter. And as it turns out, Jason Solo has killed Aelin under brutal interrogation.
Pretty much cold blood.
Straight ahead. And not only, there's like collateral damage because Ben is on the outside. He's on the outside of the room and he hears it.
He's crushed.
And he's crushed.
Did that?
His hero, yeah. And there actually is a section, a story there where Ben is dealing with a dilemma. I used to want to be like Jason, and now he went to a place that I don't feel like I can go, and I'm questioning everything now.
Let's talk about that after, because I want to talk about that too.
Okay, we can do that. So it's in that moment where we realize that Aelin, or where I guess all of these stories, we already kind of know on the outside who all the players are, but this is the moment where everyone in our story realizes who the players are. Aelin Haber is actually Aelin Vel. Jason didn't know that. And now he's on the hook for basically brutally murdering Boba Fett's kid.
That's not a kid you want to kill.
No. No. And so and then you have
have 50, but still,
right, but you have Han Solo in this weird place, like, who is, okay, Jason's my son, but Fett, you know, Fett, if you go chase Jason, you're not equipped, even you can't, you're under equipped to go after that.
I love just like Leia's, they describe Leia, she's on the phone getting this information.
Right,
like the awkwardness of her dad is standing right across from me, and if I tell him this, he might try to kill me.
Right. But she's like who she is, right? That's her character, that like inner strength kind of character. And she says, I'm sorry, but she's dead. And later on, because Fett doesn't know in the moment that he died, his daughter died under direct interrogation from Jason Solo. Later on, he learns, because remember, he has that conversation. Goren. Yeah. Goren Bavine, yeah. Right? It's Goren Bavine, who's a Mandalorian who has some inside information, and he basically. Fett is like says
I love the revenge though.
Yeah, I like it. In what way, like what revenge?
Well, his revenge of he basically tells him, I'm not gonna kill you, you know, I'm not gonna take my revenge out on you. Your family is already doing that to itself. Did you hear about how Jason has Jaina in a court martial right now for not following his orders?
Right
And then walks out. And, like, yeah. Leia and Tahn are like, what? Because they didn't know.
You have your own problems.
Bombshell. You guys are going to blow up on your own. I don't need to kill you.
Yeah. I'm just going to watch. So.
Oh my gosh. That was just so intense, though. That whole scene.
It was beautifully presented.
Yeah.
And, oh my God. Murda
reveals that she's Aelin's daughter trying to kill Fett. And then that whole scene of, you know. And she wants to kill him, but she doesn't. And then Boba Fett basically becoming, I guess, first step to becoming Grandpa.
Right.
And Elite. And that, oh man, that was so cool.
The transition of
this heartless guy, lonely man.
Right. To becoming a grandfather. And then not only becoming a grandfather, and that transition from acquaintances to business partner, or not business partner, but like,
I'm gonna train you almost.
Now I'm gonna train you.
I'm gonna train her to fly, you know.
But before, he has to allow her in that Mandalorian way, he has to allow her to punch him out almost, or kill him.
Yeah.
He takes off his helmet, he takes off his breastplate, and he says to Aelin, here's a blaster. Either do it or don't.
Free shot. Yeah.
Free shot. Here you go. This is it. This is your chance. So that is so amazing. It's so cool. Yeah. And if you haven't read this book and you're just kind of listening because this is a podcast and you just want to hear more Star Wars,
listen to it. The last 2 hours of this book, if you do anything, just listen to that.
Absolutely.
Because the next scene I want to talk about was probably one of my favorite scenes of the whole book, and it brought me goosebumps. As I was the scene I called you right as I was listening to it.
So go ahead and I'll share my thoughts after that too. Yeah.
Okay. Which basically the scene was when they're handing over the body.
Right.
Of
Fett wants his daughter's body, right?
Yep. So they're handing it over in the Millennium Falcon and another shuttle. And it's Han, Leia, and Jason.
Right.
And they basically they're asking him. They I think they know, but they don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at the body and it's all bruised and beaten.
Right.
And they ask Jason, did you do this? Did you kill her? And he acts like it's no big deal, you know. Oh, she was gonna kill you. She was gonna kill, you know, she was hired by Darth and Sel Solo, you know. And that scene where Han disowns him and basically says, you're not my son anymore. And you know, or when Jason, I think it starts by Jason saying, did you kill Thrak and Sel Solo? I kill in cold blood. I guess it runs in the family. Like whole scene and him disowning him. I don't have a son anymore. And turns his back and walks away. Holy crap. I had goosebumps. I'm like, this is like taking a crazy turn.
No kidding.
You know, and Leia, she's mad at him. She doesn't want to see Jason anymore. And he is driving a wedge and losing everybody.
Right.
Slowly. Right. And just breaking all their hearts.
Every person. Now, remember, as we're going through this, remember there are still people out there that he has there are still bridges that are unburned, and that's kind
right
of
now.
Still, yeah, that's.
But he's burned Jason. Jaina. He burned her in this book.
Right. He burned Jason. He burned his parents. You know, he's but he still has Tenel Ka, and he still has.
I guess he kind of has Luke and Mara.
He has Mara. He has Alana, obviously. He has Alana still.
Zach doesn't like him.
right? And Zach never did. Never.
Well,
I guess. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the only people that like him is Admiral Nyathol and Ben for the most part. Mara wants to like him, I think. Just because her son is with him all the time.
Right. And she still has, she's a little bit harder because she came from operational death, darkness. She's a little bit more, and she even mentions, hey, both of us had, you know, saying to Luke in her conversation there with Luke and Mara, saying, hey, we both had our time with the dark side and look how we turned out. It wasn't that bad. You know, we actually pulled out of it. And so she's a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, understanding or tolerant. Tolerant is the word. She's a little bit
more.
She's
really
tolerant.
A mom in this book, honestly.
Yeah.
A different Mara than what we got in Heir to the Empire. Like, she's changed.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a natural change.
Yeah, she's definitely changed. Even, you know, from the New Jedi Order. So Ben's response to all of this, Jason is pushing Ben. Jason is pushing Ben and saying, hey, saying to himself and saying to, and Lumaya saying to him as well, either Ben's going to be your dark side apprentice or not. And you need to make him own a decision and you need to push him because you're wasting time. If you're spending any moment with him, one second longer than you need to with him, either he's going to be your apprentice or not. And so he's pushing Ben to make decisions on these raids. And basically he breaks Ben, and Ben, instead of in a fight or flight kind of thing, he doesn't fight, he flights and does crumble as a 13-year-old.
I liked it though.
Yeah, no, it was honest. I mean,
And you know, a lot of the listeners probably know that I like the bad guys usually. Uh-huh. So they might think that I want these people to go bad, but like with Ben, I'm like, go back to the temple, like stop hanging out with Jason. He's a bad guy.
You know? Right.
Like as a listener, or a reader, that's what you want.
Right. There's a cost to you hanging out. There's a cost to every conversation and every step that Jason is being pulled toward the dark side by Lumaya. Jason is pulling Ben along with it, and it breaks your heart because you do know how good a kid Ben is. He has not done anything in any of the previous storyline or previous.
He's caught in the middle.
Yeah, he's not done anything.
He was born in the New Jedi Order.
Right, and so he has, you know. You want good for him, and you know, almost like a parent, you want good for him. You don't want him to fall under. He still has that idealism. He's still impressionable, and you know, there. Who's the character? What's the name of the character that is, that's kind of in the squad with Jason and Ben?
Oh, the corporal guy.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah, you know, if you ever want to talk, I'm here for you. But
No, not him. No, there's another.
Or the sergeant.
Starts with an S. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, starts with an S.
He's my favorite character in this whole series.
The good one, not the bad jerk guy.
Yeah.
The one that was trying to stop Jason from the interrogation. And
right.
And I have to report this. I have to report it.
Yes.
Yeah. What is, I know who you're talking about.
He's 13. He's the guy that's like,
yeah,
you know, he's 13 years old.
Like, yeah, no, he was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, and what is his name? I love him as a character, especially as the story continues on.
Yeah.
And it is. Oh well, I'll remember as we go along. I'll just shout it out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was a fun.
So
that storyline. Real quick before we, did you have something else with that?
No, not with that. Not.
I just liked the ending in Slave One, though. You know, with
Captain Shibu.
Oh, yep. There you go.
That's a guy. Sorry. Go ahead. You're saying.
Well, no, where Boba Fett, you know, he has Aelin's body, and they're throwing it in the Slave One, mm-hmm. where the bodies go, and it's, you know, he doesn't like it. And he's talking about being a grandfather, and she sits up there and like, well, we're family, well, we're all each other's got. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, the music picks up on the podcast, and they're talking about going to Geonosis and stuff.
Yeah.
That whole scene's, man, I can't wait for the next book that has him. I hope he's in Tempest. But I can't wait for the next Karen Travis book, because I know he's going to be in it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Good stuff.
the last part of the book was basically Jason and Lumaya again. Mm-hmm. And she's saying that you have to make a sacrifice. Somebody you love. And he's thinking of Tenoka. He's like, how does she know? How does she know? And he thinks that he has to kill Tenoka and his mm-hmm. daughter, Alana.
Right.
And that's where we end.
That is the end.
And now we have Tempest,
mm-hmm.
which we know on the cover is Tenoka.
Right.
So I have never read this book, but I have an idea where we're going. I feel like we're going to the Apes Cluster.
We are. And very well we do. As we're going through this, there's not a filler timeline or story arc anywhere to be found. And I told you, I was like trying to communicate that. And they're saying something, and I get it. Like if we're going to be honest with our listeners, I get it. Like you're the guy that is like, you know, looking for like honest opinions. And I'm the guy that's like, I love it all, you know? And so I've said that enough to where I feel like maybe I've lost a little bit of credibility when something is like really, really cool. And I say, hey, there's not a storyline here that you can take a breath or like, oh, okay, this doesn't matter. Like even like, you know, boring conversations like, you know,
they come back though.
Nyathol and Cal Omis and all these like characters that are like politicians but they all come back to be relevant. Yeah. And
even Ben and so, with that Kyrellian kid.
Yeah.
It played a role in his development of becoming a man.
Yeah, it did.
In his loyalties.
Right. And he had to throw that kid under the bus because at that point he was still like, no, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. And that's even though he's a 13-year-old soldier, but no, he's a soldier.
But at the time, you know, we're like, oh, this probably doesn't matter, but it does. Right.
No, it does. It does. So maybe you're hearing what I'm saying as far as like these storylines are cool. This series is cool, but I feel that it's been a long time and I don't know if you can hear yourself, and I'm sure you can. I don't mean that in a negative way, but I'm sure listeners can hear your excitement. It's been a long time since you've been pumped up about a book, I love this. And so it gets me like I get so pumped up because we haven't agreed like this in a long time. And I'm not saying like disagreement is fine too. Like that's part of having two people on a podcast together with differing opinions and tastes and things like that. But you know, just to be like, just to kind of take a breath and just say, and to look back a month ago and me saying, this book series is awesome, Luke. And for you to say, this book series is awesome, Randy. There's just something about that where it's like, yeah, you know, we're in a season and a time where
everybody's fighting over the movies.
Everybody's fighting over the movies and the ratings and the Twitter, you know, the tweets and the this and the that. And we're reading a book from 2006 that, quote, isn't even canon anymore. And you and I are like, this book rocks and this is awesome. That is what we love. That's what I love so much about Legends.
That's why we do Legends Library.
That's totally true. And that's why that's my motivation. Like, guys, we're about to go from Return of the Jedi to The Force Awakens. But I wish I wish you had this path because this is like amazing storytelling by very talented authors. And you know, we're having a ton of fun. I think probably I've in the past I don't know how many times I've finished this one book now, and we're going to continue to bump into it. I'll probably listen to the whole series again before our next month's show. But this is my favorite. There's no way around it. This is my favorite, and I haven't been able to tell you or to really enter it into conversation because we haven't covered it. But someday we're going to finish this, and we're gonna look back, and you're gonna ask the question, or someone's gonna ask me the question, hey, what are your favorite, what's your favorite series or whatever? And I've been, oh yeah, Heir to the Empire, or oh, Darth Bane. By the time I'm done with this, I'll be able to say, without any spoilers, because I will have assumed that Legends Library listeners have been through the series with us, and we can go back and we can say, oh, this moment and that moment and this person and that person and this conflict. And I can't wait for that moment, but I am enjoying the journey, and that is what is so cool. So yeah. This is fun, man. This is fun.
No, I mean, I agree. And, it's not really a spoiler, but I did start Tempest on the way to work yesterday.
Right on.
And it the opening, like, prologue scene and everything, mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with New Jedi Order and Yuuzhan Vong, but I liked it. I'm like, and, we didn't really like the New Jedi Order, or I didn't as much.
Yeah.
But the more I go into this series, the more I'm liking New Jedi Order. Just from, like, some of the storylines and the things that was brought into it. And I feel like I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to want to skim through that series again.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. And,
it's bringing a lot together.
Yeah. And Lisa Mountain, who was on our last week's show, she's like, oh yeah, because she's going to be on future shows. Lisa and Cole are going to be joining us more frequently, and as we continue through this series, and both of them have different tastes and are bringing different strengths to the table and different likes and dislikes to the table. And so
it's going to be a fun round table.
It's going to be really neat. It's going to be really cool. So next. Next month, we're going to be talking about Tempest, and that is written by Troy Denning.
Book three.
This is
one third of the way.
Yeah, one third of the way. And what I'm really looking forward to, and I don't want to look past Tempest, but I'm looking forward to Aaron Alston getting to write. I really felt like in the first book that Aaron Alston was kind of handcuffed because he was
set everything up.
Yeah, he was tasked with the burden of setting everything up and the characters and the environment and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm looking forward to the month after that. I'm not looking past this book at all, but just to have Aaron Alston's opportunity to kind of play in the sandbox that he kind of set up the walls for, but Tempest is super cool. The Hapen culture is very unique and presents all kinds of really really cool dilemmas as far as it being a matriarchal society, and so that has some cool stuff, and there's a few scenes that kind of make me chuckle that I'm sure we'll talk about in the future. But so very cool. Well, we look forward to having so who's joining us? Do you remember?
Yeah, so next month with Tempest, what we're gonna do, every three books, the Troy Denning books, and kind of like a breather, we're gonna bring everybody that's joining us together. So next month we are going to have Cole Peel and Lisa Mountain on with me and Randy. So we'll kind of have like a four-person little panel to go through that book together. And then for the two books following that, we'll, split them up, one on each show, and then we'll bring them back together for book six and then nine.
Cool. Right on. And then we'll have a show. That will kind of sneak in there. It won't be one of our monthly shows. It'll be kind of our little bonus episodes that we do in between our book reviews.
Yeah,
but we'll have maybe a recap of just Luke and I sharing our feelings of the overall take on the whole series, and so, but gosh, that's like Jeez, that's like a year away. Are you kidding me?
I would like to tell everybody too, that time of year is coming up where Legends Library card will be coming up soon.
Oh yeah.
So we'll probably be trying to fit Legends Library card member on our show here in the next couple months, and they might join the panel.
Yeah.
So keep a lookout on Twitter and Facebook for that, so you guys can join in and jump in on this series.
And recognize that our two guests that are joining us now with regularity were our two Legends Library card winners. So Lisa was our first one, and Cole was our second one. And so I'm not saying that's just been kind of a thing that has just kind of naturally happened. I'm not saying that every Legends Library card winner is permanently a guest.
Yeah.
Because that would be, you know, but you know, who knows? You know, the force only knows what has, you know, only, you know, always in motion the future is.
Yeah.
So that was a really bad. Someday I'm gonna be happy with one of my impersonations here.
Yeah.
Right now, but that wasn't it.
We'll probably start putting it out in August though. So keep a lookout for that. Cool. With the drawing in September, and then in October, that individual will be on the show if we keep the timeline the same.
Yep.
That'd be book five or six. So maybe we'll bring him on for the panel.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be five person panel. That's a strong panel.
It'll be a long show.
Yeah. There's a few things I want to point listeners to. I had the opportunity to kind of guest appear on Rebels Reactions, and they are like, I had so much fun.
People talking are about really talking about your Mortis discussion.
Really?
Yeah.
that's so cool.
I'm gonna tell everybody to go over and listen to them.
Wow, that's super cool. For you listeners, Luke kind of oversees the Twitter and that kind of social media stuff, and I kind of take care of like the editing stuff. It's kind of like a partnership there, and so that's why I'm surprised when he says, hey, people are talking about, you know, the Mortis thing. I'm like, oh cool, because that's a surprise to me. All I know is I had a really fun time talking about it and stuff. So oh, that's cool. I'm glad to hear. I hope it's as fun to listen to as it was to talk about, because I had a blast with those guys. And And you know, there's some other things. I heard a really cool thing on Coffee with Kenobi. There was a like kind of a little bonus feature. It was kind of like a dramatization of Jaws, which was, you know, it was it's not Star Wars related, but it was just kind of like a little bonus thing, or kind of like a check out some, you know, something that our friends are doing or whatever. And I was really intrigued by that, so I thought that was really cool. So maybe a plug for the Coffee with Kenobi show. But but right now it just seems like, you know, the Lattes girls are doing a great job, and the Comics with Kenobi. I just want to say about the Comics with Kenobi. I'm not up on the comic books. But I cannot wait for the Poe Dameron series to be completed, because I think there's like one more episode or one more issue coming out, because I want to read that whole. Those guys have got me like super excited about that. So, that's something to kind of check out. So if you get a chance to check that out, that would be really cool too. So, so I guess that's plugging all the shows, but it's not like. It's not a have to. It's just because I'm really into what everyone's talking about right now. So until next month, my name is Randy.
And I'm Luke.
And may the force be with you.
See you later.
That concludes this edition of Legends Library. To join the discussion, please email the show at legendslibrary@coffeewithkenobi.com or comment and follow us on Twitter @legendslibrary. Also, if you've not done so already, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review. Be sure to check out the other shows on our amazing network of podcasts: Coffee with Kenobi, Comics with Kenobi, Lattes with Leia, and Rebels Reactions. This has been a production of the Coffee with Kenobi Network. This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment or informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark or copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Copywood Kenobi unless otherwise indicated. Legends Library. There's always a bit of truth in legends.